CW Supergirl, and then we talk about it. We are your hosts. I'm Katie.
And I'm Chris.
And this week, we watch Season 3, Episode 5, Damage! Exclamation point.
Yeah, I feel like that exclamation point is probably appropriate, even though that's... I don't think that's in the official title, but that exclamation point does make it...
Because
you thought it was in there?
I thought it was in there. So I wanted to make sure to be clear if that was what the episode full episode title was. Chris wrote down the episode for me so I could read it off. I didn't have to read it off the top of my head. I just assumed that it was point.
But it totally feels appropriate because it does feel like this episode did a lot of damage to the show.
Yeah, so remember a few weeks ago when we were like, let's think of ideas for the subsequent wedding episode. And I mean, pat me on the back that I brought up the possibility that this wasn't going to happen.
Yeah,
just so that we were prepared. But we were so happy. What a happy time that was back in like October.
Yeah, it's such a short time ago, and yet things seemed so different. I can't believe that we were so hopeful. Yeah, so naive. Jeez. So Pollyanna to think that it was...
Consider we were recording this on the year anniversary of the country getting worse. Like, the fact that we were talking about this, that we were describing in the same terms our feelings about the beginning of the season, and we're only, like, part of the way through.
Right.
Anyway, so... Also, I mentioned to Chris this earlier. I am drinking wine for this episode because I felt it was needed for my feelings.
It seems appropriate.
So,
I assume that when everyone's listening to this, they'll also be drinking something.
Yeah. At least keep yourself hydrated. I don't know. I don't want to encourage alcohol use for all of our listeners because I don't know you are in your life. But
yeah, I'm not encouraging it. I'm just predicting it.
So we saw this coming last week. We knew that this was this was where they were clearly leading. I have been calling it for a while because I knew the background and stuff, and I just had bad feelings about this. Even if it is a case of this actress had to leave the show, there are so many ways they could have handled this better and not had to be so clunky. And considering that, I don't think I'm being presumptuous that between you and me, our favorite things about last season, like, to be fair, Alex is still gay. I'm not saying that, like, and her coming out story, it's not invalidated by this by any means. But a lot of that had to do also with her relationship with Maggie and how good it was, like, how interesting story it was for her. And then to take, like, a big portion of what we really liked from last season and first of all, set it up to be running smoothly until it goes off the rails within three episodes or so, is incredibly frustrating as someone who covers this show.
Yeah. Well, let me, I mean, obviously I want to get into the bigger kind of, you know, sort of the broader strokes about this, but I wanted to bring up one specific instance of how it feels like this is really kind of screwing both the audience and the characters over, or, you know, is the way that there's a part in this episode where, they're, you know, they've clearly already, Maggie and Alex have had like a big discussion about this now since last week. They've been talking, you can tell that it's been talking over, they've been talking
it over. They specifically say talking for days, like that they've spent days on this. Yeah.
That's exactly. Yeah. I was like, I hope I can remember the exact way that they phrase it, but that's what they said. And that seems like such a middle finger. Like, this is important. We should see some of that stuff. It feels like a real, like, just a jerk move. It's like that they don't want to put the time in. So they just kind of like, it's just like a hand wave of, Yeah, we've been talking about this for days, and it's like, we care about these characters. Shouldn't we get to see some of that discussion? If it's,
yeah,
I mean, because this is clearly a big deal. It doesn't have to be the whole episode.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be multiple episodes, but to have us take these characters, you know, from where the season started, and that was like a big thing we complained about in some of the previous episodes, is just how this is so, the way that it's so out of nowhere to us as the audience, and it's clearly only because of things that are behind the scenes in real life.
Yeah.
To spring it and then go, you know, things were so good, and that was, and then things are all of a sudden going to be just gone. And to go, okay, we know you've been complaining that we haven't really shown any of this going on, so we're going to at least say something about that, but not show any of it. It just seems really crappy. Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that we avoided having to see her break the news to Maggie, because like I didn't want to deal with like that scene personally. But I do think you're right. And the whole time I'm going like, go to a couples therapist.
You guys were about
to get married. This is not something you immediately break off unless you're seeing, like, you should be seeing a specialist. And by the way, how good would that have been if, in terms of like representing people that go to therapy, because that's not something that you get to see a lot. And honestly, like, and I haven't been keeping up with The Flash, but apparently The Flash did something with that. I could be completely wrong, or it could have been like a one shot, but they actually had like Iris and Barry go to like a couples therapist, I think, this season, which seems like, yeah, that sounds about right, because like,
I would worry that it would be the kind of thing that they just like play for laughs in like one episode or something.
Yeah, so but I can't talk
if they treated it seriously.
Yeah. I have the feeling that their reasoning for not doing that on Supergirl was because, oh, well, she had to leave the show too fast. In which case, like, it would have been really nice if, like, it would have been really nice if they had set up like a marriage counselor in the first episode and had like this come out in the middle of the couples counseling, where they're like, well, we want to talk about the wedding. It's been stressful. And like, my sister's going through some stuff that I can't talk about a lot of, but like, I can be vague about. And we just wanted to like talk to therapists. It would have been just like a more interesting way if it came out in therapy. And then it's like, oh, right, we should have, like, they were already about making sure that they were growing as a couple by going to a therapist, but then like this comes out and they're like, oh right, we should have talked about this like before, we need to deal with this. And then coming like through multiple episodes figuring out that something needed to change. But like, there could have been 1,000 ways they could have gotten her off the show without it. Like, I still think if her mother had gone sick, or like her aunt who took care of her had gone sick, and she was like, well, I still don't have a good relationship with my family, but they're family and I need to be there, but you need to be here in the city because you're doing really good work, and like, and just left it at that, and had, and then like given her room to come back later. There's just so many ways they could have done this. And again, it just feels like they're throwing away one of the better dynamics from the show. Yeah, and like I said, we were still hoping for a wedding down the line. Which, like, look, maybe you never know with this show.
I'm still not ruling it out.
I'm not ruling it out either. They could, but and I mentioned this in the last episode, in the last podcast episode, that, you know, they're put into this tough position, though, where they already said that neither of them want to change their mind. So the way that they get together, though, would literally be like either Maggie or Alex like giving in to things that they're not okay with, which is kind of bad. It even, they'd have to do it really carefully. And I just feel like the optics of that is like, oh, woman decides to give in to, like, even though she doesn't feel it in, like, inside one way or the other. You know what I mean? Like, I can't see a way. They've set up this, like, they set up a conflict that is so big that I don't see a way that they can bring these two characters back together and not have it seem like one of them is conceding a major choice, which is kind of a problem. Like, they had to break them up, so they gave them, like, this insurmountable, difference. I don't know. I'm frustrated, but frustrated is the word of the day. Yeah. Feel free to drink every time. No, don't drink every time I say frustrated. That's not a good idea. Drink water. Say drink. Hydrate.
Drink every time you sound frustrated, not every time you say it.
No, that's too subjective. And I feel like that's just constant it's now. They just be chugging.
Yeah, it's too enabling.
Oh no.
Now I'm just saying it's like, yeah, we're just encouraging bad behavior.
Yeah.
We're enabling bad behavior. The thing that kind of stuck in my head that you said, I think last week, was when you brought up the thing that, you know, previously Maggie had said she didn't think she ever wanted to get married. And then when it happened, she was all about it. So it's like, it also feels like really kind of ridiculous to have them both suddenly, or maybe more so just Maggie, but for her to have this like crazy hardline stance that she's never going to want kids. And it's like, you just went through some like completely unresolved traumatic, you know, stuff with your dad a week ago. And that's like, how can you possibly know for sure for the rest of your life? You know, she seems like she's in her late 20s, early 30s, I would guess.
Yeah, it's
I think
that's about where Alex is too, I think.
Yeah.
If I remember last season's
Alex
comments.
Alex seems a little older to me.
I know,
she's Kara's older sister.
I think she made a joke about how she's not 30 yet, which by the way, here's the thing. I know that the actress is older than 30.
Yeah.
Because I was in high school when Not Another Teen Movie, the movie she starred in, was in, and she was definitely like, she was definitely older than me when I was like a freshman. She's like Chris Evans's age, and Chris Evans is definitely in his 30s. Anyway, yeah. Sorry.
I do not remember what I was saying about all that, but
I got distracted by them.
Just the idea that like she would like, it's so ridiculous kind of to have like such a hardline stance on, I know I am never going to want kids. When it's like, it's like, you have no idea what your life is going to be like once y'all get married and like, you know, like 5 years down the road, how different your lives may be, how different the country, just the world in general may be.
Yeah.
You're living in a world where just like a couple months ago, for the umpteenth time in just like a couple years, a huge army of aliens invaded. And it's like, how could you, that's sort of like tugs at the sort of the strings of reality of shows like this, where it's like, if you were really living in a world where it had been basically just like ours up until a point where suddenly superheroes and aliens and all this stuff start happening, I think you would see a lot more people not just going about their daily lives. You'd see a lot more people just like kind of throwing caution to the wind and going like, man, a thing might fall out of the sky any minute now. And suddenly, you know, we're overrun with spider aliens or something. Like, people would just be going like, yeah, you know what? I'm not really into kids now. I don't think I'm going to want to, but we're hanging around Sam and Ruby all of a sudden now. And, you know, things are looking like there might be more movement on the relationship with my family. I don't know. It seems ridiculous that Maggie would be so adamantly against. But I didn't think that until you said that thing about how previously she had said she didn't want to get married, but then she did want to get married. So it's like,
and Alex even brings it up to her, and then she's like, well, kids are different. I'm like, but are they? And again, I'm just like, why aren't you going to a therapist for this? Why aren't you going for marriage counseling? Because you guys were planning a wedding.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's not something you just throw away.
This all just feels so disingenuous. And it's going to feel even more disingenuous if they do get back together. It's going to make, as disingenuous as this part of it feels right now, it's going to feel even more so if they do get them back together. And so it becomes even like stickier situation that they have now put themselves in.
Yep.
It's like people are going to be mad if they stay broken up because people really cared about their relationship. This was like a big deal to people. But then if you break them up and it's not for a good reason where people are mad. But then if you bring them, I guess maybe they're thinking if they bring them back together, it's like people's happiness over and relief over them being back together will outweigh the like outrage over like, well, then why did you even break them up? You could just have her, yeah, like, you could have her do anything for these middle 15 episodes of the season or whatever, and then bring her back at the end, be like, well, that was sure a fun trip I won, you know? Like, it sure was fun touring Antarctica. Like, it's just...
Yeah, that's the other thing. They said, like, I'll see you around, Danvers, and it's like, oh, right, they've been, like, semi-working together, so...
Yeah!
Like,
it's not like she's just gonna disappear.
She's like written in the cop car, like yeah, she's gonna disappear because she's not gonna be on the show. That's the whole reason why they're breaking them up. So it's like, yeah, it's really frustrating. And like, and there's also stuff like them moving her out together, which is like not at all emotionally healthy. Like, any person I've known who has broken up amicably with someone has not been there for the breaking or for the, like, moving out. And then she's like, now we're gonna put on mood music for I don't think they meant for it to be, but I laughed when the sad background music turned out to be on the radio when it ended up being a diegetic instead of non-diegetic. And then said, like, I don't think that was supposed to make me laugh, but it did because it was almost cartoonish. And then they put on a sexy, like, their sexy dance music, and then suddenly they're having, I'm like, oh, well, this is great. I mean, we know she's leaving.
Well, for a second, I thought that was like a flashback to when they were like moving in, like, or something. I don't know if I missed something, like, just for a second, like, I was distracted by Dipper or what was going on. But I was like, wait, why are they hanging out together drinking? Like, this must be a flashback. And then they start making out, and I'm like, yeah, oh, she must just be having like it's like Alex is having a memory of when,
and then that didn't, they, no,
and well, I didn't realize that it wasn't a flashback until you cut to the, you know, it cut away from them as they start to make out, and then it cuts back to them later and they're like in bed, and
sort of they still sort have their of, shirts yeah. on.
Yeah.
And they just kind of did that TV thing of flopping back. And I'm like, yeah, okay. That's how lesbian sex works. Okay.
when they do that thing where one of them said, I think Maggie said, what are we doing? And I was like, oh, wait, this isn't a flashback. This is like, this is supposed to be happening now. And then I was just kind of like, oh,
like, why?
Oh, all right. That whole, I was like, that last scene doesn't make sense to me now. Because, like, why would you be there helping her? Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
I'm backing up your point.
Yeah, it was just so... I was thinking the whole time, why are you there? You're making... Like, this is not a healthy way...
You're making it worse.
...to deal with this. You're making this so much worse. Which feels like a lot of this episode was just, why are these the choices you're making? Why are you doing it this way? There's so many more better ways you could be. Anyway, so,
I think we have to, like, kind of take talking to the characters off the table.
You say that, but that's really...
No, I know, but it's like, we sort of have to take it off the table in the instance of this particular part of the story. I mean, we could talk about it with the stuff with Morgan Edge and Lena and all that other stuff, which, remember that that's even on this same episode?
I forgot for a second as we were starting up, I was like, what was the actual bad guy plot?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. The thing that was super obvious and super set up, and I knew exactly where they were going.
Yeah, exactly. It's been less than 24 hours since I saw this, and like, I felt like I could not remember.
I saw within an hour of us starting this. Like,
and you
within an
still
hour
forgot about that,
like, for a split second I was like, oh, right, that other thing that was kind of annoying.
Well, and when I thought of that, I was like, was that the same episode? Or was that a different, was that last week? But
anyway, so,
but talking to the characters in this part, because it's like, we know that this is all, everything to do with this is a function of what is happening behind the scenes. And you can't even like try to hold it to the rules of logic, because it's like, it's happening because it has to happen. They like, that's just it, because in the real world, they have to get her off the show.
Yeah.
And it's all, the writing is making these disingenuous, you know, like lazy choices. That's how they feel. I mean, it feels disingenuous and lazy the way that they're having these characters react, not like how real people would, but like people who are bound and determined to get to a predestined end point. You know what I mean?
No, I absolutely know what you mean. And I mean, I think patting ourselves on the back, I appreciate our podcast, because we do a very good job of always recognizing when it's clearly a writer thing and not necessarily a character thing, because it drives me crazy, especially when female characters are written poorly, when they're like, well, this character is stupid because of this. I'm like, it was written by someone else, usually a man, by the way. So like, just remember, just like keep that in the back of your head when you're complaining about this like female character and the bad choices she's making. And I can appreciate that the writers were kind of, that they had to deal with it in some way, but just like the Jimmy thing last season, the early Jimmy stuff last season, it just feels like there was no nuance or any thoughtfulness. And it really felt like we need to shuffle the storyline that we had set up so strongly in the last episode of the season before. We have to shuffle that off.
22 episodes of your time.
So much time wasted. I know we're going to kind of see where this goes from now on. I'm hoping that at the very least they don't drop Alex's kind of journey of identity, because that's something that it doesn't invalidate her being gay. I'm sure, I don't think that the writers are going to undo the fact that she came out as gay. If she dates or is doing anything anytime this season, I'm sure it's going to be with a woman.
Also the idea of her suddenly like
dating we got
her out of here, now Alex can go have some crazy dates.
Yeah.
Is like, are they going to do something where it's like Kara and Alex are both having to like try to get each other going on dates, like, and then they're like, oh, all right, we're going to go do these double dates because we're both trying to get over a relationship.
I'm anticipating it for Valentine's Day. This is my guess. God. At least that's a few months away. It's not like it's like next week.
It's not going to be in the show, because there's going to be the like Christmas break. So it's like, it's literally going to go from like one episode, you know, right before Thanksgiving, basically.
Something I did see, and I don't know if it was a rumor or just someone suggested it, and I'm very open to it, only if it's done really, really carefully, is the idea of Alex and it's Sarah Lance on Legends of Tomorrow, because there's going to be a team up, and I don't know if they're going to have any interaction. But again, and not necessarily.
You're talking about White Canary?
Yes. Is that Sarah Lance? I always forget.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're going to have any interaction. I don't know if it, again, I heard someone mention like those two might like would have an interesting dynamic. And if they did,
but it's not like she couldn't be on Supergirl every week either. So it's like you've got the same problem. So then just like,
but I'm just saying, so like I could almost see, because there's going to be that crossover that's coming up, because they always do that crossover. And if they do have interaction and just have like an interesting rapport, but nothing else, then I'd be like, fine. You want to explore that, but in a way that's not like her immediately getting back in the saddle or immediately going on double dates and just her like having a connection with another woman. Okay, fine. So like I'm anticipating that being a possibility, but I'm honestly hoping, I don't know. It's just, I mean, we're,
That doesn't bother me. It's just sort of like the whole manufacturedness of all of this. Like,
yeah.
Well, and it's but I'll go ahead and tell you, it's already going to be, and we saw more of that in this episode too. It's just going to be, come Valentine's, it's going to be Kara and Alex on like blind dates, on, you know, trying to do like a speed dating thing or something. And well, then
believe
Lena
it or not, I don't
Jimmy.
Like being right. I don't like being right for any of these things. I hate
it's
going to
be
the,
Lena.
And- I hate being the Cassandra of this group. No, you listen. No, because Cassandra wasn't listened to. You listen to me. But I hate being like the foreseer of doom in this podcast, where I keep I keep figuring out all the bad things that they're going to do on this thing. But
yeah, all the yeah, awful.
So, yeah. So do you want to talk about all the Catco stuff this week?
Sure. I mean, it only it only goes to set up exactly what you were,
like,
you know, predicted
things.
Was going to happen.
Yeah, five things. Yeah, I think I said first, one of the things I said to Mike as we were watching, by the way, he was like, oh, I barely watched, because he was like playing a video game. And I was like, oh, good. You should be glad. You should be glad you didn't watch this, because it was so frustrating. But one of the things I said to him was like, oh, of course, now they're friends. After he only had to take a bullet for her in order for her to be like, okay with him. I was rolling my eyes so hard at that part.
But it's like they were friends last season. It's like it's backtracked to put them in a position they want them to be. Their like relationship backpedaled just so it can put them in the one it wants them to be in now, and like create this, you know, fake adversarial thing that just so then they can go like, oh, but look, they like each other now. Speaking of this, oh, all right, just real quick. So after we did the episode last week, and I brought up the thing to you talking about Rain's costume, I went to try to find a good picture of that online.
Yeah.
To send to you. Because the one I had seen was like a pretty small one, and I was like, let me find like a high res one. So I went and I tried to find that, and I was not having any luck finding one that was like a good quality. And I ended up on Tumblr looking for it, which was where I found one.
Why did you go on Tumblr?
Because it's, so the thing is like, with so many websites are like so ad heavy and clickbaity now that like, I went to like a big comic site. I won't say which one, but I went to like a big comic site because they said they had like, they said they had the picture, but it was like, you couldn't get at the picture for like the ads covering everything up. And it was like, I just wanted to like see the thing. And they kept like, then they had like a full screen pop-up that like took over, you know, my entire screen, trying to make me watch this commercial for, you know, like a truck or something. And I'm like, I just want to see what the costume looks like. Like, I just want to, you know, I just want to get a good picture of the costume. But I was like, all right, let me just try. If I just type this in on Tumblr, it's like, I bet it's going to pull this up really quick. And it did. And I sent you that picture. But then while I was, you know, after I found that, there was like several more like funny memes of stuff with the show.
Of course. Yeah.
And it's obviously the show has a huge following on Tumblr. And I was just like, oh, it's funny getting to see, because other than you, basically, and then like every now and then, the stuff that people tweet at us about the show, or like in at cons and comic stuff, I don't really talk to anybody about this show. So I was like, oh, it's kind of neat to get to see like what this fandom, or this particular version of the fandom, is kind of like, and just see, it's neat to see other people talking about the show. For a second, it was neat.
Yeah.
But then it starts devolving in like a bunch of different directions. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a lot of drama, which was one of those things.
I can only imagine with this now. I think
this episode had not happened yet when I was looking. So
no, but you were still like the whole like Alex's like sad stuff had definitely happened.
But I sent you that thing that apparently the majority of the fandom on Tumblr, at least, does not care for Mon-El nor the actor who plays him.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean,
but everyone apparently now in the Tumblr fandom is a very big fan of Lena and Sam, and Alex also. But some of this stuff, like, now I saw the thing that you were talking about where there was like, through this, I saw the thing that you were talking about that was like at Comic-Con, where there was like a bad, you know, some things said in poor taste. And I was like, oh, people are still really
Yeah.
The fandom is this, you know, this part of the fandom is still very upset about this. And it was interesting seeing how, but it also made it seem like this is getting into like a whole thing that I was not intending to talk about. Okay. But what I was going to say was, let me steer away from internet gossip and steer back to what the point was, which was people online also immediately love to make fun names for couples. Like, I think Sanvers is the Maggie and Alex one. And Supercore is for the one Supergirl and Lena.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the guy that plays Jimmy Olsen tweeted a picture from the set, just like a candid picture someone took of him and of he and the lady that plays Lena.
Kate
just
McGrath.
Like, yes. Them just like horsing around. And it, you know, it looks like they're
charming.
They're just being cute, you know. And he was like, he said something like, have we got like a ship name for this yet? And all of the response, this is like people had screen capped it on Tumblr, where it was like where he had said that on Twitter, and then they had just screen capped all the responses of people saying no, just everyone hating it. And like, yeah, they're she's already in a relationship with whatever the name they've come up with for Lena and Sam. All of which is to say, it's nice to see that somewhere else on the internet, other people that watch this show are also so vehemently against the idea of Lena and Jimmy getting together.
No, I mean, I knew because, especially because it's just so predictable with the way that they like,
it's like, who's left? Who's not in a relationship?
Who's left? Yeah. And it's sad because I'm a big fan of, male female friendships on these kinds of shows. And it does seem like the CW shows really love to at least tease the possibility of like any not related to each other man and woman to hook up at any one given point. It was the same problem. I know, like I said, I know you don't watch The Flash, but crap.
It's not that I don't want to. I don't know if we've talked about
this. No, you don't have to. Yeah.
It's
just
like,
but you're so far behind, right?
Yeah, I'm so far behind, and I am the kind of person who would have to start watching it from the beginning.
Yeah,
I just
and there's
can't.
There's a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah, that's
in
the
between.
Thing is with all of these shows, and we've talked about this again and again, but it's that thing of with all of these shows, with Arrow, with you know, with Supergirl, there's so much filler that these shows could be incredible if you took the budget that you would use for like 22 episodes or whatever, or maybe not even nearly that much, but then you just cut it down to the stuff that was really important and pour the money into doing, you know, 8 great episodes or 10 great episodes instead of 24. Yep. And there's like a couple okay, there's like a couple better than average ones, but mostly it's just kind of okay, if not outright filler, or in the worst case, just awful. And
just
like you could make these
spinning your wheels. Yeah.
Yeah. There, and I know that it's obviously like the only reason they make these shows is because it's a business. Is like, oh, if we have 24 episodes, we can get more advertising dollars. Yeah. And the only reason we're making this show is to make the money that comes from the advertising. And when you start thinking about things, when you start realizing that about all of this entertainment that we like, it begins to get very depressing.
Begins to get very depressing.
Well, if you start like really tugging at those strings where you're going like, everything I like is just here to sell me stuff.
So getting back to the show we're watching.
That has nothing to do with
it. It would have been really, and maybe there's always like the slimmest chance that they are just doing an actual friendship story between Jimmy and Lena. But I don't think so. I think that they're trying to get them together. It's just not great. I think that it would, you know what? You can always convince me. They can always try to convince me. They're going to try to anyway. So like maybe in a few months I'll be eating my words and they actually have a really good dynamic and it works as a romantic couple. I just don't see it happening. So
yeah, I don't see that kind of work. I don't see him putting in that kind of work. Well, let me ask you something. Do you think that, so it's like, obviously the fandom is having a very bad reaction to them breaking Maggie and Alex up.
Yeah.
And the fandom also seems to have a bad reaction to Lena and Jimmy getting together. Do you think that the people, the creative people who are in charge of the show, let's say they've got this idea that they started, you know, before they even started the season, they're like, we want to get Lena and Jimmy together. Do you think that they should pay any heed to fans who are like, when fans say, we don't like this, please don't do this? Do you think that creators should listen to fans in those instances? Yeah, or should they go, we think we have a really good story we want to tell with these people, and like, we have to risk alienating them because it's what we want to do?
God, that's a hard question, especially as someone who is creating something right now. Like, and I get it. You can't. And the fact is that fandom is so huge that you literally cannot appease. Like, I hate to say you can't appease everyone, but like, literally, you will have, if you're saying, oh, we should listen to the fans, you will get such a cacophony of voices saying different things.
But there's
things.
A difference. There's a difference between, like, we'll use this specific example. I would say that it is an overwhelming majority of people who watch this show don't want Alex and Maggie to break up, which I just realized is probably exactly why they're doing it, because they want us to be invested in watching to see if they get back together. Oh,
yeah.
I feel so dumb now.
Yeah, like,
but
that's
let's use that as an example.
I think it's a little, I'll say there's a little bit of a difference between people going, I don't want the Jimmy and Lena like thing to happen because it's lazy, which is still very valid. And honestly, like, the fact that they haven't handled Jimmy's, like, any of Jimmy's stuff really well is, like, there's precedent there to be worried that this isn't going to be handled well, and it's just going to be a throwaway thing, and just, like, another thing to, like, throw two people together because heteronormativity. But and it's a little different between like, the one lesbian couple, the one, like, at all, like, LGBT, like, the two LGBT characters on the show, and having, and, like, something that they really highlighted in the last season, and then dissolving that, and especially because, like, now you're talking specifically about, like, about queer representation, and stuff, even though, like, the argument, I think, the criticism that people of color, especially like Black viewers, have had about how Jimmy has been handled, especially last season, is completely valid too, and I think it should be listened to. But I think it's just one of those things where, like, yeah, I think that they should have listened to queer people, and just like how important it was to get more queer characters on, so that you don't have this be like, when if you wanted to do something outside of an actress leaving, but to like to mess with a queer pairing, then it's not like you're messing with the only two queer characters on the show. Then it's like when, I mean, this is kind of a big one, but like with Sense8, there are so many queer characters on that show. So when a queer character is suffering, it's not like,
it doesn't feel like just, like, queer people are suffering.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like the representation of queer people on this program are suffering. It also helps, by the way, that it's created by two trans women. But like, that's clearly a big part of the reason why that show handles like queer stuff really well. But I don't know, it's hard because also we don't know how
far. I haven't seen that show, but I mean I sort of know about it, but I haven't seen it. But
oh,
I can tell you about it
if you want to know about it, but
that would be a different podcast.
Yeah, that'd
but
be
I was
a
just gonna say
different podcast. What were you gonna ask though?
Yeah, does it like treat, I guess I was going to ask if it, you know, if it treats those things well, if it handles those things well, because it doesn't treat them like they're a thing that huge attention has to be drawn to, because it just feels like it's like, oh yeah, this is just a normal life. It's not like a whole huge other thing.
A little bit of both. It definitely, it's a very different show because it's about eight characters who who are immediately like mentally and emotionally linked across the world. So like there, and a lot of it is about, so like the queer characters somewhat like the people who respect them in their lives, you know, love them for being who they are. And they also, but then they also deal with like the outside world and prejudice and stuff, but in a way that feels very authentic and real because it's coming from a real place. And, but again, like there's, and I think also to be quite frank, I've been wanting to, when I have time to actually write, like nonfiction pieces again, I do want to bring up representation in online streaming in terms of like the Netflix Netflix format, because they dump all their episodes. So if a character breaks up with his boyfriend in one episode and it's really, really sad, you only have, like, you get to see the rest of the episodes whenever you want. Or if, like, or if, I'm gonna just bring it up for, again, this is getting way off topic. I will bring it back, I promise. But, like, for one day, the show One Day at a Time, there's a queer character in it who is figuring stuff out in the middle of this first season. And they, for the first few episodes, when they're trying to figure that stuff out, they think, oh, maybe I am straight. And they start dating, like, thinking, oh yeah, maybe I am straight after all. If that had aired on television on a weekly basis, people would have been really pissed off, because like individually that episode would have been, you know, the message there would have been, oh, you just have to start dating someone of the opposite gender, it's fine. And then like three episodes later though, they finally come out like, yeah, it's not actually, like, that plan wasn't working. So it was like, there's ways that online, like, streaming television shows that put out their seasons all at once have more room to have more complex coming out stories, because you don't have to worry about someone being upset about the individual issue or the individual episode, because it's right there. Which does get us back to Supergirl, because, you know, now we're having to wait.
Hold on. You're telling me they have done a remake of One Day at a Time?
Yes! You didn't know about this? It came out very early, like, it came out December of last year. So, like, perfect time for everybody to be in despair and need, like, it is about a Cuban-American family. And the mother she's divorced now. She's not a widow. She's divorced, and she was in the military. So it deals with ex-military issues and PTSD and like her, like become like figuring out her place in the world again. And it deals with immigration issues, and it's genuinely really funny. It's on Netflix. Yeah, it's on Netflix.
This sounds much, much heavier than the old show.
It's actually pretty light. they get into some definite serious issues, but they also have some genuinely really, like, what is his name? The guy who played Ned Ryerson in Groundhog Day plays her boss, and he's super goofy, and he ends up
his name is Stephen Tobolowsky.
Yeah. But he ends up becoming friends with the mom's mother who's living with them, and she's played by the actress from West Side Story, the one who plays the cousin or sister, I think. But she's super charming, and she's so funny. And
I want everyone to know that I knew Stephen Tobolowsky's name off the top of my head.
Head. I couldn't pronounce it though. That's why I was like, the guy from Groundhog Day. Anyway.
Well, that you remembered Ned Ryerson so quickly, and that I immediately, of course, I was like, oh, I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah. That all just made me feel good.
It's actually really funny, and the last episode or two is actually very emotional. It's, and like I said, season two is happening. They've got a season two, but it's, season one is all on Netflix. If you need like a really enjoyable feel good show to watch, I highly recommend it. It's a super good watch. But yeah, so I don't know. I just, so that's my recommendation for the week. if you want queer representation. I just like that you stopped me. They were like, wait, there's a one day at a time. Heck yes, there's a one day at a time.
I just hoped that, like, I know that the people that listening to the show are probably don't even remember the original show to know what I'm talking about, but are either too young or just, I don't know. But I hope people, when you were describing all that stuff that sounded so heavy, were just picturing, I wish I could have made a mental picture of Schneider from the original show pop up in everyone's brains right then. So they would know, like, it's a remake of a show that had this guy on it.
Yeah.
And it sounds Snyder, this heavy.
Snyder now is kind of like this hipster guy, and he's not nearly as creepy, but he's still kind of a doof. So they handle it really well. So he still kind of is like, hey, I'm part of the family. And they're like, why do you keep coming in and eating our breakfast? But, yeah, it's like I said, I think it's handled actually really well. It's an interesting interpretation. And it does have like the last episode is truly very, very sweet. To get it back to,
of course, everyone tune in next week for One Day at a Time talk.
If you end up watching it and you want to get that going, I'm not against it. So,
well, I feel like I have to at least check it out.
You have to at least check it out, and see what I mean. But I think it's honestly like it was one of my comfort shows in the early times after the election last year, right. And it brought me a lot of hope. So in fact, as I was talking about it, I was like, I should really rewatch that show because I know the new season's going to be coming soon. Anyway, so getting it back to superheroes,
right.
So I don't know what to make of this. It was I saw a lot of it coming. I was kind of glad because we talked on the podcast.
Are you talking about the Morgan Edge led plot?
Yeah.
To discredit Lena?
We saw it coming.
Yeah, like, it was the most obvious thing in the world. It's like, I can't imagine.
He just
it's hard for me to imagine.
Be there.
Yeah, like just all of that, everything about that. From jump, you know that what's going to happen is it's going to clearly be that he has done this. Like, I would hope no one is watching this and going like, oh, did Lena do this? You know, like, is Lena really the bad guy? We thought she, you know, like, did she do this? I hope that no one watching thought that it wasn't Morgan Edge's fault, is all I'm saying.
Also, like, while she wasn't the perpetrator of it, there is a good case that she was actually still negligent. So just because she wasn't, just because she wasn't actually the person who did it, there was still like a very good, and again it's like, oh, they were trying to stop an alien invasion. I understand the reasoning behind the like drastic decision, but also like it just was kind of luck that it wasn't actually something that happened. There was still like a good like 12% chance or something that they,
I think it was 10.2,
yeah, up from like 0.2, so
yeah.
Good job, Wynn. I feel like Wynn should be feeling a lot more guilty since he helped her make it, but whatever. But at the end of the season, I think we were talking about, like, we were debating the science of the lead thing. We're like, isn't that safe, though? Because lead's very poisonous. Like, even a little bit of lead isn't good.
I don't think lead's as harmless as you guys think it is.
Yeah, so, I mean, I almost applaud them. Not applaud, but I can appreciate them actually bringing back this, like, but also, let's talk about how lead's actually not very, even in small doses, not that great. But there's still,
I guess they're
like,
really just kind of, they're stuck with that idea from, you know, back in the 50s that whoever made up the Daxamites was like, oh, but lead is like kryptonite to them.
So
and we still use lead in our paint, So we don't, it's harmless to humans.
Yeah.
You got to think about that. Yeah. When they made this up,
like they might as well have just, they might as well have just been like, asbestos.
That's... Yeah. we're going to blow up this asbestos bomb. It's probably mostly not harmful to people.
Yeah. Tobacco, heavily poisoned.
Yeah.
Turns out cocaine, they can't keep cocaine in their system. Luckily for us in the 70s, we are immune to such.
We're immune to cocaine. Oh man, that really caught me off guard.
You're welcome. That was,
that was very, very funny.
I do try to be funny on our humor podcast.
Yeah, on our joke-based review podcast.
You get queer theory and random cocaine jokes from yours truly.
I have no idea. I think we've basically talked this episode, you know.
So there's not much else.
The Morgan Edge stuff is... Oh, there is one thing I want to say about
Edge
the...
Morgan Edge just going full supervillain, which was like, kill the... Has he already murdered... I feel like he's already murdered someone else to cover his tracks at some point before.
If he, sure. Rest assured...
On screen.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, whether
it.
Or not we've seen anything, rest assured, this guy has already murdered...
I just love, like, shoot... First of all, shoot the computer. I'm like, okay, buddy.
Well, the thing that doesn't make sense, though, is he said that, and then he took the gun away from him and shot him, like, in the chest.
In the chest! I was so like, mad about this. I ranted so hard. Chris, you don't understand. Again, my partner, Mike, was sitting next to me. I was not paying attention to the episode at all. And then I just started ranting at him, like, why would you shoot him in the chest? Well, when they're racked with guilt, decides to go like, okay, I'm going to commit suicide, takes the gun, I better put it in the chest, the least painful way for me to die in this situation, put it right in my rib cage. I'm so angry.
For anyone who doesn't quite understand what we're talking about, there's like, if you've ever seen like CSI or Dexter or any of those like crime shows, when there's someone dies and guns are involved, the police are really good. You know, there's people who work for the police and like the FBI and stuff who
Barry
are really
Allen
good,
for one.
Exactly. Sorry. Who are really smart about knowing, and we know that those, yeah, exactly. Like Barry Allen, we know that those kind of cops exist.
Who are really smart and would recognize that this is stupid.
Yeah, it's like, sorry. They're really good about knowing how bullets, we have done a lot of studies on figuring out how bullets enter bodies, like what it means. That, like, all, you can figure all this stuff out really quickly. So you can't just go, oh, there's some gun residue on this guy's hands, and then he shot himself in a way that would be physically impossible. It's,
I mean, all like, that would say is like, oh, someone's clearly trying to fake a suicide.
Yeah, yeah. They would walk in and immediately go like, oh, well, this guy clearly didn't kill himself. No one shoots themselves in the chest from across the room.
Yeah, or in the like, chest, period. Like, why would that be the way you would choose to do it if you could shoot yourself in the head?
Ludicrous. And this guy's supposed to be smart. This guy's, what this shows is the character is supposed to be smarter than the writers are. And it's easy to just write, this guy is very smart. And it's harder as a writer to
actually have him be smart. Yeah.
Yeah, because you have to try to be as clever as someone who is supposed to be a genius or something. You know,
I'm almost
really
worried about when they're going to eventually show Lex. I'm a little worried about how they're going to write him.
Oh,
like,
boy.
A little bit. Because I feel like it's going to get very zany, but they don't realize it's zany. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. I think...
I have to point out a recurring motif this year, or this season. Which is, this episode, again, had a shot that was 100% stolen from Superman Returns.
Really?
And I am, again, I have so many questions. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, this is the thing in this season now that I am the most curious about.
Well, now you're like, looking for it, too.
Well, yeah, but it's obvious. It's like, it's unmissable if you've... you know, I mean, yes, I've seen these movies, all these Superman movies, probably more than most people, with the exception of Man of Steel. And Batman versus Superman. But they do the thing where Kara has two halves, a plane splits in half, and she's holding on to two sides of it. And a person she cares about is down in one of the sides, and she wants her to climb because she can't hold on to it. And so she's going to have to drop it, and she climbs up to her and takes her hand right as she lets go of it. They have a shot where you see her like climbing up to her, and then they switch to like a down shot of where you see the Kryptonian holding the human's hand as the big heavy thing falls away from them. And then it cuts to the reverse of that, seeing the Kryptonian with their cape flowing in the wind, holding the human person that they care about. If you go back, like, I'm just like, is it just that they're trying to do fun visual? Kevin Smith directed this episode.
Yeah.
And I think he backtracked on it. But at the time, he said when it came out, he said that he was a big fan of Superman Returns. But he didn't direct the other episodes that had, if it was just this episode, if it was just this episode, I'd go, oh, that's Kevin Smith just sneaking that in. You know, it's like, or it's just that's Kevin Smith being lazy. And it's like, oh, not enough people remember Superman Returns. I can steal this shot from it.
Yeah.
But it's not just this episode. This has happened numerous times, and we're only five episodes in. So there wasn't anything, as far as I remember, in the last episode. So I was not looking for this episode. And then it just jumped out at me. I was like, ugh, that's the same shot. That's the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I wish that, if nothing else, this season, if I could just get an answer for why they're doing that, that'd be the one thing I'd ask at Comic-Con or something.
I'll say my thing was that my other takeaway from this episode was when Kara... actually, two things. I'll get to the not as funny one first. The fact that, like, Lena could have easily have stopped... Like, the only reason why the evidence was destroyed was because she decided to go over there and do something stupid. And it feels like... And I think they're setting up, like, Lena pushing towards, like, oh, I'm actually not... Like, this... Me trying to be a good person has failed, so I'm going to try to go, like, rogue or whatever. And like leaning towards that, which I'm not super, it's not that I'm not super fond of her exploring that. I'm worried that that's the end game that the writers are setting up for her, which I don't want. But the main thing about that part was just the fact that, like, if you had just let Kara do her investigating, you could have actually, like, gotten him by surprise and actually, like, officially gotten it on the books that he was,
yeah,
he had done this, and you could have been rid of it, and now you have no proof, even though he clearly tried to murder you.
yeah. Also, what a stupid plot. That this guy is like, that he thinks that, was his idea that people were gonna go, oh, Lena Luthor was so distraught with whatever, you know, from, you know, this public disgrace, that she then flew a plane full of poisonous chemicals into the water to kill it, try to kill us all. Like, also, if it had done that,
then, like, you would have known that she had, yeah.
If that had been successful, it's like, look at, you're going to be killing.
Where did the chemicals go?
Yeah, you're going to be killing all these people. That's going to really affect your business. Like, even though,
and also,
people,
like,
don't know
people,
you
there would
it?
Have been an investigation, and, like, I'm pretty sure those barrels probably still would have been found. Like, yeah. The actual evidence probably wouldn't have been completely destroyed. There are a billion things that don't make sense.
Yeah.
So on top of that, then, when we're at the DEO, and they're like, oh, there's a half distress signal, and you hear Lena's voice, and Kara's like, that's Lena. I seriously said directly again to Mike, how can you tell her accent changes every episode?
I didn't think it was as bad this week. There was, like, one part where I was like, oh, boy. But for the most part, it was...
I know, okay. But I felt really good about the laugh I got out of him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Oh, hey, you know what? This episode had some good bits between Sam and Lena and then Sam and Kara. And they're like, man, they're really suddenly these people met like 2 weeks ago, and now suddenly they are all just completely wrapped up in each other's lives in a way that is like...
I don't know. There was a line from Lena saying that she...
Lena and Sam have, I guess, worked together, known each other.
Yeah.
But still, just the way that it's like she is suddenly, we've never heard of her before, and suddenly she's just
also all that over house the place. Is way too big for her to be sleeping on the couch. You're telling me like they don't have a guest room?
That place is like 200,000 square feet, and there's only one bedroom.
Like my parents have had to downsize in the last few years, and the place they're renting is like a one story, and it looks actually quite small. It was built in like the 50s. It looks like a pretty tiny house. They still have a guest room. Like with Sam, she also has a kid, but like that house is so big. There has to be a third bedroom.
There's seven bedrooms in that house.
I did appreciate Lena drink. Like, I hate to say I appreciate Lena drinking, but I thought that the scene where she dealt with like her own anxiety with all of this, both like the guilt of the situation, also her ongoing like fear that she's seen as a monster. It's not great, but I could appreciate the performance. I seriously thought she was going to drunkenly say that she knew that Kara was Supergirl. I thought that when she was about to like be rescued by Kara, and I thought when she was like, "No, you need to get the evidence," and just like, "No, I'm not going to leave you." I thought she was going to be like, "Kara,
do it.
Get the evidence." Yeah. But I think they're still playing up this idea of like the tension of when is she going to find out and is she going to be upset? But I seriously, like her whole line there where it's like, you can't lie to me. And then Kara's like, oh, you don't know. I was waiting for her to just be like, oh, screw you. I know you're Supergirl. It's so obvious. You just take off your glasses and pull down your hair. It's super obvious, Kara.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a super genius. What do you expect? Anyway.
Oh, speaking of her being a super genius, I love that all these other times when there's something serious going on, they're like, Lena's got to be there. She's so smart. She's got to be one of the people leading it. But then this time when they were like, we need you to help us figure this out, she's like, no, you've got the best minds in the city here. You don't need me for it.
Well, okay.
I know she did say that thing about, you know, if I'm doing anything helping with it, they could say I could contaminate the data.
I feel like the bias and stuff in the journalistic integrity is also already like, there's so many layers. And I wasn't a journalism major, so I don't know the ins and outs of this, but like all of the fact that she is like best friends with Kara to begin with, but then the fact that she bought the company, like they're trying in the writing to at least address it, but I could appreciate the fact that like they realize, oh yeah, if we have like a news organization that's owned by me, like they'll just think it's propaganda and that.
But that happens in real life. It's not like Rupert Murdoch didn't have his news affiliates. And
maybe they're trying to say that Lena is better than Rupert Murdoch, which maybe. Fair. anyway, so I don't know. This episode was rough. It was tough. I always appreciate doing the podcast because even when the show frustrates me, I always tend to enjoy our talk. So I feel like. Yeah. I feel like we've let some things out.
Yes, it was good to sort of get these things where they're not just stewing around in our brain anymore. I think it's good to talk through them. Even though, just because the people on the show won't go to therapy doesn't mean we can't have this weekly
therapeutic.
TV therapy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, I think that's a pretty good place to wrap it up. Katie, why don't you tell people where they can find you online, what you've got going on?
Yeah, so you can usually find me on Twitter at Just Plain Tweets. I also have a Patreon, patreon.com/justplainsomething. So if you like what I'm doing here, throwing a few dollars my way is always helpful. And I do try to do some behind the scenes stuff every once in a while so that you kind of can see my take on some of the things I'm doing with other projects. Speaking of other projects, my comic Moonlighters had its fourth issue come out last week. Issue 5 is being worked on, so that's exciting. In fact, I actually finished the script for issue 6 as of this week. So besides like edits for lettering and double checking things and that sort and like little changes, the first volume of Moonlighters is in the can for me, so that's exciting. And besides that, my graphic novel, The Cardboard Kingdom, is available for pre-order through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or any independent bookstore you would like to support. That's coming out on June 5th, and any and all pre-orders are highly appreciated, and I think it's a really good book, so I think you should lock in on that.
It certainly looks fantastic from the preview stuff that's out, and just like all of the stuff I've seen and sort of like the premise stuff, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, and it certainly looks great. If it's written half as well as it's drawn,
yeah,
it's going to be incredible.
It is half as good as it is drawn, so that's the good news. No, actually, and I actually over the weekend I got an advance review copy because like they sent them out to the creators too. So I got to see it in print because I know my artist, Chad Sell, was really nervous about the colors being saturated. And he was like, oh wait, no, they actually look gorgeous. I'm like, yeah, they do, because you did a really good job, Chad. So yeah, I got to see it in print this weekend, and it's going to be really special. And then besides that, excited to say that since Steven Universe is dumping a bunch of like 6 episodes this weekend, L. Collins and I are going to be back doing Crystal Clods. I think we're going to be splitting it up into 2 episodes. So starting with recording an episode this weekend and then sometime next week. So if you like hearing me talk about another show where I bring up queer theory and make jokes about random stuff, absolutely keep an eye on the Intuit podcast feed, because that's where Elle posts them.
That's another show where it's you and a wrestling fan, but you don't talk about wrestling.
Sometimes we talk about wrestling because 2 of the characters do actually wrestle occasionally on the show.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
So there was an episode fairly recently. It was like one of the last episodes we did, like months and months ago when the show was new. But there was a wrestling episode, and I know Elle was like super pumped to be able to talk about wrestling again in relationship to Steven Universe. Whereas I was just like, I mean, I have a lot of cultural osmosis with wrestling. I know enough wrestling fans. I hear the haps and the to do going on.
Right.
Even if I've never really gotten into it myself. But yeah, so Crystal Clods on the Intuit podcast feed. Check it out.
And as always, there'll be links to all this stuff up in the show notes. You can follow me on Twitter at The Chris Haley. You can follow the show at KICTM Podcast. Get all the other shows that I do. If you're subscribed to this, you already get them. So, but hey, maybe you don't listen to them. You just listen to Supergirl Gab. But you can look up Keep It Close to Me on any of the places where you get podcasts, and it should be there. Or you can go to the website, keepitclosetome.com. You can download the episodes and just, you know, do whatever you want with them. That sounds about right. Oh, I've got a Patreon also. It's patreon.com/thechrishaley. And I actually have something from the past that I'm not sure if I should say what it is until it's done and available.
I mean, does it have to do with a certain thing that you were watching over and over and over again?
No, not that. there's still stuff. There's still mysteries afoot with that. But I've got another thing that's going to be exclusively first on my Patreon. That's a thing I'm bringing back from I've maybe from a website that we don't work at any longer.
Newsarama? Is that the one?
That's the one.
It's been so long ago. I don't remember.
Yeah. Which will not by the time you hear this, it won't be out. But hopefully by the time you hear the next episode, I think it should have, I will have let everyone know what it is. So that's a little teaser. Maybe you can check out the Patreon at the website I already told you. But all that stuff is, like I said, it's on the show notes. So check out the show notes at keepitclosetome.com. Follow the show, retweet if you like the show. When that's like word of mouth is the best possible advertising. So do that kind of stuff. You can leave us a review on iTunes if you want. All of those kinds of things that people tell you to do at the end of every podcast. But if you're listening to this, you've probably already done all those things. So you're wonderful. You're great. Thank you so much. It's been fun.
We love you.
Yeah, exactly. We love you. And I don't know. I think that's probably a good place to...
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I think next week they're going back home. So that will be a nice change of pace. Lots of flashbacks.
Lots of flashbacks. Maybe a little they'll probably still, somehow, there'll be something for Kara to punch in Midvale. All right. This is next week on the Supergirl Gal. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Oh boy. Yeah, this is going to be something else.
Yeah, I mean, if we don't have a lot to say beyond our general, I'm assuming frustration. I mean, I'm assuming that's the emotion you're feeling tonight. We can always just like, we don't have to ramp. You know what I mean? Like we can try to keep each other to not wallowing in the frustration. Right.